Welcome to Journal Club for January 30th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Dix. If you're operating a website at scale, then it's very unlikely that you're running it on a single server. When you were setting up your DNS, you probably didn't have your A records point right to the static IP of a server. Instead, you most likely have your A records set to an IP address that maps either statically or ephemerally to a load balancer. This load balancer, or a set of load balancers, sits in front of your cluster of servers. And when traffic comes in, the load balancer picks which server should actually receive the traffic and process the request. I make a request to your website, and it gets processed by server 1. Someone else makes a request, and it gets processed by server 2, etc. This allows your system to scale horizontally. Your cluster of servers is able to divide up the work that would have otherwise all fallen on one of them. These kinds of balancers are offered on virtually every major cloud service, and they vary based on the network layer they operate in and the algorithms they use to choose which server should receive each new request. Today, we're going to be taking a closer look at the algorithms that these kinds of systems use. One might assume that they're all fairly simple, that the load balancers are choosing the backend targets based on pure randomness, or just a round robin, or giving each request to the server that is the least busy. And sometimes that's true, but many times it's not. There are actually dozens of load balancing algorithms, and they all serve a slightly different purpose. They're all useful in a slightly different use case, and most importantly, they're all designed to maximize resource efficiency in their own way. If you're scaling an application to the point that it genuinely needs a load balancer, then it behooves you to get a solid understanding of what your options are. Some of these algorithms might be perfect for the system that you're working on, while others might actually be counterproductive. The tool we're going to use to walk through this topic today is a paper about SDNs, software-defined networks. These are the traffic management systems that run in data centers and on other large infrastructure to optimize how traffic passes through and is routed in the network stack. It might not sound like SDNs are that closely related to a web application, but they definitely are. Traffic is traffic, and networks are networks. The ways that SDNs are being engineered to balance and distribute load in their systems is directly applicable to the cloud, to IoT, to edge computing, and even to high-performance computing. Load balancing is, in many ways, a universal problem for any system that receives either human or automated requests at scale. While the authors of this paper may not be applying these algorithms to a stack that looks like yours, the algorithms themselves are useful nonetheless. Before we dive into this paper, we need to understand the context a little bit more. What are SDNs, exactly? Where do they come from, and how do they work? Before SDNs, there was the traditional distributed networking model. In this model, each network device, the routers, switches, firewalls, etc., operated independently and made forwarding decisions based on predefined rules and protocols. Each device integrated the control plane, the business logic, and the data plane within the same hardware, and every device was configured independently. This lack of centralized control made it difficult to adapt to changing traffic patterns. Software-defined networking emerged to address these limitations by decoupling the control plane from the data plane and centralizing everything in software that can dynamically configure network paths and policies. In traditional networks, routing decisions were made locally by individual devices, but in SDN, a global centralized controller determines optimal paths and instructs underlying hardware on how to forward packets. Like any other network controller, SDNs need to prevent congestion, reduce latency, and optimize resource utilization. They address these issues through load balancing. Load balancing in SDN involves dynamically adjusting the distribution of network flows across available paths, links, and processing resources. The SDN controller continuously monitors traffic loads, link utilization, and device performance, and uses this information to make routing decisions. The load balancing algorithms are the logic that governs these decisions. In this paper, the authors categorize the different algorithms, then analyze their effectiveness and compare them. So, let's jump into the categories they defined: server, link, controller, and hybrid load balancing. Server load balancing. This is the classic scenario when you think of load balancing. A data center hosts a popular application that experiences a sudden surge in traffic. Without an efficient way to distribute requests, some servers become overloaded while others are underutilized. Techniques in this category fall into static and dynamic methods. Static algorithms, like round robin, distribute traffic evenly without considering server conditions, making them effective for predictable loads but inefficient under fluctuating demand. Dynamic algorithms, like least connections, direct traffic to the least burdened server, and weighted round robin assigns workloads based on processing capacity. More advanced methods use reinforcement learning, where models like Q-learning analyze past performance to optimize distribution. The trade-off here is between simplicity and responsiveness. Static methods are lightweight but inflexible, while dynamic techniques adapt in real time but require continuous monitoring. Link load balancing. Links are the physical or virtual connections between two network nodes. These could be switches, routers, or even servers, etc. Think about an enterprise network. There may be thousands of employees using it at any given time, many of them making video calls. During peak hours, some of the network links may become congested, while others are underutilized. This is going to cause dropped calls and spotty performance. Link load balancing addresses this by dynamically selecting network paths to distribute traffic efficiently. Methods like equal cost multipath spread traffic across multiple links with the same cost but do not account for real-time congestion. More advanced routing considers link utilization, latency, and packet loss rates when making routing decisions. Frequently in play here are optimization techniques that you probably remember from other contexts, like genetic algorithms and ant colony optimization. These are used to explore multiple paths and refine the routing based on historical performance. Meanwhile, AI-driven methods like reinforcement learning can predict congestion patterns and proactively adjust traffic flow. The key challenge in link balancing is the trade-off between scalability and real-time adaptability. The more accurate the method, the more computationally intense it likely is. Controller load balancing. Recall from earlier that controllers are the brains of the system. They hold the business logic. But large systems will have more than one, many even. This is analogous to more advanced setups that you can achieve with load balancing on the cloud providers like AWS. Each load balancer that a cloud provider offers you will have a maximum throughput, so when you're scaling really big, you'll need many of them. In SDN, the constraints are similar. Each controller can only do so much, so enterprise-level systems will likely have many. If one controller becomes overwhelmed while others remain idle, it degrades the performance of the network. So, how do you handle it? Well, they use something called switch migration, where overloaded controllers transfer switches to those with spare capacity. Algorithms like multi-threshold load balancing classify controllers into load levels and migrate switches accordingly, while deep reinforcement learning predicts congestion and preemptively shifts load. And lastly, we have hybrid load balancing. And this is exactly what it sounds like, a mashup of the areas we already covered. Imagine that a streaming service like Netflix has both extremely high workloads on their servers and high network traffic. If only server load balancing is considered, some network links may be congested. If only link balancing is managed, some servers may be overloaded while others remain idle. Hybrid load balancing solves this by optimizing multiple dimensions simultaneously. For example, ant colony optimization can manage server allocation, while particle swarm optimization determines optimal network paths. In more advanced systems, they use AI to predict server load and network congestion together and make proactive adjustments. Each category of load balancing plays a role, and each is optimal for specific contexts. Simple methods prioritize ease of implementation, while others emphasize robustness and adaptability. Balancing computational overhead and real-time responsiveness is, and always has been, a challenge in a number of areas. Load balancing is no exception. In this paper, the authors emphasize that no single load balancing technique is universally optimal, and the choice of method should depend on your specific network architecture, your traffic patterns, your performance requirements, and your appetite for implementing solutions that might be quite a heavy lift. Their key recommendation is that network engineers should strive to adopt a multi-layered approach. Leverage AI where it's feasible, while maintaining computational efficiency for the areas with real-time needs. If you want to go even deeper into this topic and view the algorithmic analyses or performance evaluations that the authors provided, then I highly recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.